In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, amen. The Word of God, which is to serve as the basis for the sermon this morning, are written in the 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, verses 19 and 20. Dear friends in Christ, the Dalai Lama is a Buddhist monk and spiritual leader of Tibet. He once said, the purpose of life is to be happy. One can travel in a lot of directions with that thinking. Many with very, very sad consequences in the end. God put it this way, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The fact is, pursuing and maintaining great worldly happiness requires great sacrifices, of which many end in great regrets. Humans have been tearing themselves in this world apart in defiance of these words, by the sweat of your face till you return to the ground. Sweat encompasses everything from birth to death. Ups and downs, some real good, some real bad, and lots of mundane times. From dust to dust. Maybe you'll recall the words of a man by the name of Curtis Jones. He said this, "Life is our capital, and we spend it every day. The question is, what are we getting in return?" Well, here's the ultimate answer to that question. Dust. That's what we're getting in return. Dust. We can look at life and this world any way we want. However, it's always the same. Our text is God's word to his people Israel, the visible Old Testament church, words given to Moses that Moses was called to speak. God says through Moses, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live." Years ago, Lutheran commentator Walter R. Rohrs wrote of those words, "God made his promises and threats in the hearing of a universal audience, heaven and earth. His whole creation was summoned to testify that he had told his people in advance what the results of their choice would be. It was a matter of life and death." The danger would be what too many have said. Well, this is the Old Testament. We're New Testament. That thinking drowns in the multitude of references to the Old Testament that weave their way through the New Testament scriptures. In Jesus' account of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man, burning in hell, begs Abraham to send Lazarus to warn his five brothers still on earth to keep them from going to hell. Jesus said, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, that is the Old Testament, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead." So you see, forgiveness of sin and eternal life through the coming Messiah were taught in the Old Testament scriptures. For the New Testament, it's the promise of eternal life through the Christ who has come. This is the same and the ultimate issue of both Testaments. We recall Jesus' parable of the dishonest manager. At the close of the parable, Jesus said, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." The reaction of those listening to Jesus was to ridicule him. Jesus made this very clear and devastating observation: God knows your hearts. For what is exalted among men is an abomination in the sight of God. So tell me, what is the difference between that statement from Jesus, God in the flesh, and this statement God gave to Moses from the Old Testament? "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life, that you and your offspring may live." You cannot serve two masters. The Old Testament and the New Testament complement one another. Commentator Lenski wrote, "God abominates all self-exaltation, especially that of hypocritical self-justification, the thing that men thus deem high, look up to, admire, boast of in themselves, glory in, is not only low, but utterly abhorrent in God's eyes." There is only one choice, dear friends. Moses goes on to say, "Loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him." Obeying his voice. Think about it. The voices of this world have never brought this fallen world one inch, not even a fraction of an inch closer, to its dreamed of utopia. However, they have ripped into the church, these voices have ripped into the church, ripped into the lives of children and young ones. Voices, 24/7, spewing out steady doses of half-truths, bold lies, and gross filth, and our young ones have constant and immediate access to it. Internet, cell phones, television, the voices of people. Voices of people satiating and teaching whatever the flesh demands, ignoring and mocking all things godly. Voices, voices of dying, rotting flesh, soon dead and forever forgotten. Back in the 1950s, a Lutheran pastor by the name of Richard C. Yon wrote, "The devil never rests. He is always devising ways and means to cause us to lose our faith or to commit sin. He is a skilled student of human nature. He knows whom to entice with evil lust, whom to incite to murder, whom to surfeit with food and drink, whom to fill with envy. He rouses some to fear and others to become overbearingly self-confident. He watches our habits and appetites and never ceases in his efforts to harm us. Before we commit a sin, he makes us overbold and self-confident. Afterwards, he makes us victims and we lose all hope. When he is out to deceive us, he can transform his manner and always move to those of an angel of light. He attends all public worship, hoping to distract us and to steal away the precious word. Only too often he succeeds." I would think that most of us are very, very familiar with the warning: "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour." And this, For even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Seriously, what voices and worldly desires are guiding and comforting us? What are we listening to these days? A lot of garbage, quite frankly. And God warns, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge from ignorance, mostly preferred, ignorance of the word. Satan is after every child of God, especially those weak in faith, weak in the knowledge of the word. They don't know or want to know the word. So once again, these words of our text, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, the word, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. We know that we are not headed to an earthly promised land. We also understand that the earthly promised land of the Old Testament church, its purpose was to foreshadow, to picture the eternal promised land won for God's people, Old and New Testament. The picture was limited very much to what the world is, but was also projecting a world of joy and happiness and peace. What we have in Christ was won through his suffering and death for his sin, for our sin, and for his resurrection, he gives us the promise of everlasting joy, our glorified bodies. The words God gave to Moses are now, loving the Lord, obeying his voice, and holding to him, for he is your life and length of days. The words of Jesus are an explosion again. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Again and again, hope and joy, an explosion of hope and joy. As scriptures teach, you are not your own. You and I don't own you and me, for you were bought with a price. We were redeemed, bought with the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. We belong to God now and forever. In a sermon from 1540, Luther said of our Lord Jesus Christ, he sacrifices himself on the cross, becomes a sinner and a curse. He hangs on the cross between two malefactors, being counted equal to them, and he dies a shameful death for all the benefit of the whole human race, to redeem it from the eternal curse. Thus, he is both the greatest and only sinner on earth, for he bears all the world's sin, and he is the only righteous and holy one, for no one can be made righteous and holy before God but through him alone. All who believe that their sin and the sin of the world are laid on our dear Lord, who was baptized and nailed to the cross for our sin, receive forgiveness and eternal life. Christ's baptism, cross, and blood become their own. Obviously, I don't know what you see as the most important issues of life. It would seem that it really isn't all that difficult to figure out, especially if you've ever stood next to the casket or urn of a loved one. What God said through Moses is so very, very critical for this time. Choose life, that is eternal life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he, not human wisdom or thinking, all the stuff we're hearing these days, he is your life and length of days. Christ Jesus is our eternity, and that's always the same, has been and will be forever. Amen.